I'm Jenny Brewski. When I'm not listening to ghost stories, I love giving new life to items that others may think of as junk, from mantles to furniture to entire rooms. I take what may have been forgotten and make it better than ever before. These are my projects, and this is Junkin' with Jenny.
That indeed it is. It's the very first episode here of Junkin' with Jenny, the show all about what some may consider junk and giving it new life.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what we're going to be doing on the show. To give you a little synopsis and what this is all about, we want to help you basically do just that. Take your items, take your spaces. If you'd like some one-on-one advice from Jenny here on the show, you can submit a picture of your item or space, a little info on what it is you're wanting to do, a little bit of direction, what you're, tastes are, what your styles are. You can submit it at junkinwithjenny.com, a little question form there to fill out, and then we may be able to answer some of those questions here on a future episode of Junkin' with Jenny. That's kind of the short synopsis and what the show is all about.
That's what we do.
And if you're just joining us, which I'm sure many of you are, we've actually done many other podcasts. The show that a lot of our listeners that are joining us for the first time on this episode have found us from our other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, which we host together. Mm-hmm. And this has kind of been a long time in the making.
Very long time.
Of creating this show. And I'm really excited about it. I know you're really excited about it.
Yes.
Really nervous about it.
Extremely.
As well, which is why you can hold your little...
My fishbowl of wine. My fishbowl of wine.
Your nerve inhibitor. What's the right word I'm looking for?
It helps me.
Yes, whatever word I'm looking for. It'll help us get through our first episode here. Yes. Of Junkin' with Jenny, because it's always kind of nerve wracking the first time you do a show, and you're just kind of you're not sure exactly how you do it, how you go through it. I've been going through our outline of this for months now, mm-hmm. and we've had kind of some variations on the idea of how we're going to do the show, and now we've decided, okay, here we go, let's just do it, let's get it off the ground. And with your guys' help, we hope to make this another really fun podcast and video cast.
And give some ideas.
And this is just about, we are two people. Let's get a little background about who we are as
sure.
far as people who may not know us at all or our skill level or where we're coming from on any of this. We are not contractors.
No.
We are not experts in the industry of any of this. We are two people who have really had a lot of firsthand trial and error DIY experience.
That's fair. Yes.
Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
And you have some background though on as far as home design and interior design. So why don't you talk about some of your experiences in the world of home design, so people kind of know a little bit about you before we launch into this whole new world of
sure.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Well, outside of my own home, when I first started in anything having to do with homes and helping people with their homes, I started out in home staging, which has really taken off in the last couple of years, but I think it was a little bit too early. When I started in it about 10 years ago, people didn't realize the difference in how you sell a home versus how you live in a home. And that's where I came in and I helped them and I just gave them a fresh perspective. And from that, I started working more in design and helping manage projects and everything from bath to kitchen remodel. I didn't do the work on the client's home, but I helped them design it and mm-hmm. and figure out what was going to best fit their needs.
And in the last several years, we've begun doing a lot of the actual work ourselves.
Right. I mean, I had a ton of friends who were the contractors that were hired to do these projects, mm-hmm. and I got a little bit of knowledge here and there, and I thought, well, I'm not going to try this on anybody else's home, but why not? Let's just take down that wall or, paint this because we can always paint it again. And we tried a lot of things and our house just became a big experiment.
And we've discovered a lot of things together just working on this, as a couple. It's made us become closer together.
Yeah, very much.
It's been a good thing. But it's been so much fun. And there's so many things where what I've always kind of said, I think the purpose of this podcast and this whole idea is helping folks who are maybe two or three steps behind us.
Sure.
We are not the folks who are at the top of the world on this, but we are the folks who may be two or three steps ahead of you because we've been doing this for a while. Some folks are still ahead of us. They're going to look at us going, well, we already know that. Well, that's fine. But this is a show for maybe folks who are just kind of getting into this idea of making a house their home and designing it and making it what they want to be beyond just putting a bunch of Gordman stuff on the walls.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Definitely.
So we can help you take ideas and turn them into reality. Within reason.
Within reason. And, you know, being that we started out podcasting with a ghost show and have had great luck with that, we tend to both of us think outside the box, which really helps with coming up with new ideas, especially with found objects.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of this is all about, is we're taking things that we found at antique stores, at flea markets, at
Side of the road. Have done that.
Yes. I mean, just those things, or even things that you may have in your attic, things you may have gotten from your family members that you're like, oh, that's great. I'm glad. Thank you. I'm super happy you gave that to me, Aunt Martha. Yeah. And turning it into something that's actually usable for your life.
Sure.
And your home and in your world, that it's not just like, let's try and dump this on another cousin or something.
Something that you actually will enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a lot about what we're going to be doing here on this show. So I hope you guys enjoy it. It is a work in progress, as every show is at the beginning. So there will be evolution to the show. There'll be changes to the show. We're going to try and make this as cool of a show as we can. And my camera is not filled with smoke. I am literally on the other side of her right now, believe it or not. She's right across the desk from me. And for whatever reason, the night we're about to do this, my camera is fairly foggy. And it might have something to do with being on the boat yesterday. We went on a boat ride.
Yeah, I could see that.
And got fairly soaked. And I'm wondering if there's some fog that has gotten into that camera. But anyway, we'll put up with that for tonight and hopefully get that adjusted here really soon. But here on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, and we'll get right into this a lot faster on some of our future episodes. And by the way, if you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher or YouTube or some other podcast service, I want to let you know there's a video version of this podcast every time we do it. Which is because it's such a key thing to this.
Yeah.
And you can always go to junkinwithjenny.com to see that, because we're going to be featuring the images and the graphics of the stuff that we're talking about, including us bantering back and forth.
Sure.
So if you're like, let's just listening to the audio version of this, there is a complete video version of this podcast every time that you can check out at junkinwithjenny.com. We're going to post that through YouTube. So you can see a lot of the images and the pictures and the stuff we are physically talking about. So you can get a better idea of some of the things that we're doing.
Sure.
So you can get some direction and some ideas that way. And feel free to pin that stuff. In fact, that'll be great if you would.
That would be great.
If you're a Pinterest user, that, and you like this thing, that is one of the biggest ways you could support the show at the beginning, is pinning our images, because that will help people find us and let them know we exist. Because as far as I can tell, there's not a whole lot of podcasts out there on this topic.
No, because a lot of it is very visual.
It is.
But we like to try and describe it.
Yeah.
Because you can't sit and look at pictures all day long.
Yeah. And there's a lot of times, you know, you're in the car or something. You're like, I don't want to listen to news. I'm sick of music. If I could just listen to HGTV or DIY, even if I can't see it, I'd enjoy that. So this is kind of what we're trying to create for you in the world of podcasting. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and feel free to send feedback along the way as well through that website at Junkin, J-U-N-K-I-N, with Jenny.com. So on today's show, a listener wants to know how to transform an inherited lawn ornament of a bygone era into something usable today. Also, Jenny Project here, we're going to take a short tour here of our studio that we have right here with us right now, so you can kind of see what we did in here, some of the designs we created to make this thing, how we built it, including tips on making faux bricks appear real and adding some shiplap where there are none. I know you are a fan of shiplap.
Of course.
Also, a listener wants to know what to do with some old spice jars she picked up at a garage sale. Jenny's going to give her review on a copper paint product and talk about the many things she's turned into rust, and also what to do with old windows to reclaim them into something Cool. So lots of things we're going to cover here on today's episode. Are you ready to jump in?
Okay.
Okay, let's jump into the first thing. The first thing we have today here on the show is a letter that comes into us from Tammy. And Tammy says, I recently inherited some porcelain statues from my grandmother. They sat in her entryway for as long as I can remember. Every year she would dress them up in themed attire for a corresponding holiday. And as a kid, I loved this. They do feel a bit dated to me now, but I didn't want to get rid of them and would like to use them rather than just hold on to them in my attic. Any ideas on what I can do to them? And then we ask, tell us how you plan on using them. And she says, I'm open to using them inside or outside and the type of style she likes. She says she likes rusty things, things that look old, but not in, things that are in good condition, but not out of date, as these kind of feel right now.
Okay.
So that's kind of what she is looking for right now. And the neat thing about this is we recently had something similar.
We did.
That we came across. You want to talk about that?
Sure, sure. We had a garage sale find.
Mm-hmm.
We had these two lions that came in a pair, and they were at a neighbor's house down the road. And they look like old concrete, but they're hollow and really lightweight. And they were just kind of neat. They were about 2 feet tall. And I just really liked them. And I didn't know why. I don't have a thing about lions. It's just one of those things that when I saw it, I was like, I think I know what I want to do with these. So we got them, we brought them home,
mm-hmm.
and we used one of my favorite products on it. It's a oxidizing copper paint.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is, it's the paint that you paint on, and it makes everything look like copper, but then you spray it with a patina, and it's a solution that comes with the paint, and you spray it on there, and it makes this suddenly get the green verdigris that we all know with aged copper.
Yeah.
And it settles into the crevices and the parts where this would normally happen. So I brought them home, painted them, took a couple coats, let them sit, did a lot of oxidizing. And I really liked how they turned out.
And we'll talk about that product in just a little bit and like really give a full review on some of the
sure.
many things we've used it on. But visually on screen right now, I'm showing the original version of these mm-hmm. lions that we have. And this could be applied to almost any sort of like porcelain lawn ornament. A lot
sure.
of things that you'd otherwise, I think, kind of just brush over
mm-hmm.
and be like, that's lovely. Let's move on to the next store.
Oh, yeah. This you can do on a yeah. number of different things.
So here is now, I'm putting an image up on the video. Like I said, you can, a lot of this is, you can go and check this stuff out at junkinwithjenny.com. I'm showing an image right now on screen of the lion, that was done,
mm-hmm.
Of one of them. And it's such a cool product. I mean, it completely changes the dynamic of almost anything that you put this stuff on.
It does.
I mean, I don't know that I would put it on a lawn gnome. Would you do a lawn gnome in this?
Oh, sure. Sure. Anything.
A copper lawn gnome?
Oh, yeah. I would do that. And, you know, honestly, if you're going to leave it outdoors, put a clear coat of some sort of protectant on there,
yeah.
and you're good to go.
And it really does. I mean, and so you initially, well, like I said, we'll talk about the product itself in just a little bit, but the application of this stuff, you paint the copper on.
Right.
And then on top of that, what's the next step to kind of give it that aged look and not just like I copper spray painted this with Rust-Oleum?
Sure. Well, you paint a good coat on. Then you go back and where you want the green verdigris to show up, you paint again. And while that's wet, you take the patina solution and I put it in a spritz bottle because it's easier to handle that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sponge it on. You can put it on with a brush. But while the copper paint is wet, and that's the key, spritz this on and let it sit for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it. That is all you do.
It's so simple. And I mean, even I remember when you were doing it, even our 4-year-old was involved in some of the
yeah,
process.
She was. She was painting the copper and then she liked the spritzing part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, to get the level of aging that the lions had, I think I did a couple of coats of the spritzing, you know, and I'd go back and dab a little more copper and spritz again.
Sure.
But it was definitely less than a 3-hour project for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's very simple and it really kind of gives a completely new feel and new life to something that you may otherwise go, this is too dated. We got to get rid of this. I was shocked. I really was. I mean, they were kind of neat lawn ornaments to begin with. I remember we saw them at the garage sale. And you're like, you know what I'm seeing right there?
And like, you're like, crap.
Like, I don't know. Are you looking at that radiator that they have next to the boat over there? Like the lion. Like, okay. And but as with most things that you see when it comes to this stuff, there's a lot of vision there. And it's exciting to see what you can turn things into.
Thank you.
So that's just, you're at the beginning of this journey with us if you're just beginning to listen to this this podcast, because there's so many things you're going to discover of that you may not have thought that you could turn into something you'd want.
Sure.
You know, to be quite honest, that we have just this backlog of stuff that we've been working on for the last couple of years that we're going to be covering. On the show that we've been working up to begin this thing. So it's really exciting. And this is really one of the, you know, it's one of the more recent things that we've done, but really one of my favorite, I think.
Do we share what happened?
Yeah. Why don't we share what happened with that?
Yes,
I'm going to to put you on camera just by yourself, really, really close. And I'm going to.
Like a confession?
Kind of. I wish I had like some really sad music.
A Jenny screwed up confession.
I can probably find some sad music. Just give me 1 second.
I'm not going to wait for you to find sad music.
Oh, like I want 10 seconds. 10 seconds is all I ask.
Oh, gosh.
10 seconds and I will find sad music. And.
You got it yet?
Kill that.
This is definitely more than 10 seconds.
I know. And it's like all these settings I have to change on this computer to make it work. Dun, dun, dun. Sad music. Cue sad music. Sad music. Anyone? Sad music. Is it here?
Oh, geez. No. That's the worst.
Okay. It's you. What happened, Jenny?
I was going outside to water my ferns. And there was a box that had been delivered, and it was fairly heavy, heavy enough that I couldn't bring it into the house myself. But it was too close to the ferns, and I didn't want to get the cardboard wet. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tilt this box and try and slide it a little bit. And I forgot in front of this box. That's not sad music. In front of the box was my lion, one of them.
We had two lions.
We had two. And it shattered. It was hit by this box and just completely took a nosedive onto the concrete, and it's dead. It's not even like, you know, super glue it on the Brady Bunch back. No, there's too many pieces.
We thought about it.
You went out and looked at the side of the road, the empty box that had the remnants of the lion in it, and you were like going to super glue it, but you saw there was at least 500 pieces.
I went out to the lion and I sat next to it for a moment and I looked into its half face.
It had no head.
It was in a pile inside of a box of Pampers. And
it was not. We haven't had Pampers.
I don't know
for
what
like
it was in. It was in a small box of some sort. And I said, I loved you. And I will continue loving you till the end of time. I'll never let go, lion. I'll never let go.
You know I'll find another crappy lion at a garage sale.
So. You will. It'll be all good. So, yeah, that was our lion.
I was so pissed.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll find another lion.
You were almost like, I thought maybe you were mad at me. You were real quiet. And I was like, that was my project.
I don't get mad.
You don't get mad, but you were quiet. And I was like,
I was a little sad, but I wouldn't be angry at you.
No, but I mean, we still have one lion that looks kind of stupid without the other one.
He just kind of sits there by him.
Yeah.
No, hopefully we find another copper cat at some point, but there you go. Okay. So, if you want to submit a project to our show, or to our podcast, that you'd like some advice on, it's really super simple. You go to junkinwithjenny.com. You submit your project through there. You can submit an image of something that you may want some advice on, whether it be a space like a room or an object itself, maybe a line that you're planning on not knocking over off the steps. You let us know.
Thank you.
And we'll try and give you some feedback on some ideas. We're going to get to one of those pieces of feedback here in just a few minutes on the show that somebody has already submitted to us. Because on one of our other podcasts, I threw a little call out there. Just, hey, and we got anything? And we got something. So, yeah. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. First of all, before we get to that, I want to talk about our studio. Because that's been a work in progress, in progress.
Yes,
just an S. I know. The whole time we've been working on getting this show together, and I have a lot of little video clips here and everything. I want to show you know what we did and kind of talk about it because these are things. Some of the stuff that we did in this studio have been elements that we've used in this house, in the house we had before this house, and they're really just kind of neat things that you can apply to all different kind of accent areas of a home. Is that accurate?
Yeah,
accurate
definitely.
Description of the idea. So why don't we talk about the wall that's right behind you right now? And I'm going to pull up a video clip. And why don't you explain, what exactly we're looking at here, you know, initially, and what it's turned into.
Okay, so you want me to talk about like what we started out
with?
What is
this we're looking at behind us initially?
Brick paneling.
And this is like the 1970s almost.
Oh yeah.
Brick paneling. It's like a thick cardboard product, really, is it not?
It is. And you can get it at your local big box hardware store. There's mm-hmm. a couple of variations of it, but it's cheap. It's, you know, for a 4x8 mm-hmm. piece, it's about $25.
Yeah.
So it's two pieces of that. And a whole bunch of thrift store picture frames and a lot of spackle and a lot of paint.
So basically, we put the paneling up mm-hmm. As is. And this is an interesting thing because this is something where if it's not in your home, it's super cheap. It's super easy to come by. And it's also something that a lot of homes, if you're buying an older home, may already have in it.
And the thing is, when this stuff comes home from the store, it's from a 1970s basement.
Yeah.
It's ugly as hell.
My mom had this in her basement. My mom and dad did, and it still is in their basement. And I remember she did, I think she tried to do some sort of white paint on it. Is uh-huh. that accurate?
I think so, yeah.
And I think she did it in like 97 or so. She kind of got sick of the crappy red look of it. And what you've done to it has made it like, oh my God, that's really neat. And back in the 90s, I think, you know, the products that may have been available or readily available to the average, you know, home consumer, I don't think were as vast as they are right now. And so I think she did what she could with it. But now, I mean, it's not necessarily something you need to rip out. If you go into your basement of your 1970s home that you just bought and you're ready to rip it out, think about this idea because it really is kind of cool. It really does give it new life. So we put the paneling up, or if it already exists, it already exists in your house. What is step number two in that process?
Step number two is to try and fill in the joints where the panels meet. So you'll have two half bricks that'll meet to look like one brick, but there'll be a seam there. And then you'll also have a seam, you know, the next layer of brick up where two full bricks are meeting. It's just where the two pieces are meeting, and you want to try and fill that in as best you can. And whatever product you use, you want it to kind of blend in with what your end product's going to be. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go dark, go with a dark product to fill it in, like a caulking or something. And then I knew we were going to go light, so I filled it in with a whole bunch of caulking and spackle because mm-hmm. the joint kind of varied, you know, depending on how beat up the pieces of the paneling got on the way home.
Which, sure.
Being that it's like a cardboard, it takes a beating and it chips away pretty easily. But once it's on your wall, it's pretty safe.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing, you know, exactly how this whole thing came out and what it ends up looking like. I was really very impressed. And the picture frames right behind it that we used on this thing, these were not expensive picture frames. I mean, correct?
That's $15 worth of thrift store picture frames.
Yeah.
I had to get rid of some of the pictures that were in them because they were terrible.
Yeah.
But I knew that I had paint at home that would work. Just paint them all the same color and kind of give it a uniform feel.
So how did you make the picture frames look like they were something out of the Haunted Mansion?
Black paint first. Do a solid coat of black paint. then do a dry brush of white over it, and it just touches a little bit of white on the part that's embossed, mm-hmm. so you can see that design. And then on top of that, just dry brushed copper on top of that. So there's three layers of paint, and only one's really labor intensive, putting the black on. You want to make sure it's covered really well, but you're mm-hmm. just kind of just touching the frame just lightly with the white and with the copper.
Okay. And then that's all there is to it. Let them dry.
Yeah.
And then I think we affixed them with screws, right?
We screwed them in yeah. because with my OCD, if they started tilting, it was going to drive me nuts. So if you screw them in top yeah. and bottom, they're not going to tilt on you.
Sure. So that's the wall behind her, and it's really cool. And the thing is, in our last home, we did something very similar. I'm going to pull a picture of that up right now. That's what you can see at the junkinwithjenny.com website if you're watching the video version of this. And this is, it's not nearly as whitewashed as this is.
Right. This has a mortar smear on sure. it. So you basically cover the whole panel with a wet, I used watered down spackle, and it went on pink but dried white. Mm-hmm. And you wipe off where you want the bricks to show through. It's been featured on HGTV. There's a lot of different ways to do it. But for indoors, I just used spackle because it would cover the way I wanted it to. But for the project that we did at the last house, I didn't do a whitewash at all. I painted all the mm-hmm. bricks the same rich red color, mm-hmm. and then I highlighted which ones I wanted to have some of the dark tones and then some of the light tones, so it looked kind of more like old Chicago brick.
Yeah, we did it like in a little inlet almost. In fact, I think it was a doorway at one time that yeah. the previous owner actually filled into so the wall, and it was kind of an inlet where they had a clock before we had gotten the home, and we ended up putting a bench there. But we wanted something a little more accent-y to make it look, just stand out more. And sure. and it turned, I mean, so many people went through that house, including contractors, and they would look at this thing that we created and they would be like, oh, is there brick behind that?
The trick to tricking the contractors until they touch it
yeah.
was to mix half pre-mixed grout mm-hmm. with chalk paint, yeah. half and half. And you paint that in the grout lines of the paneling, and yeah. it gives the feel of real mortar between the bricks.
Because you're using real material that you would use if you were actually using the product, a brick product.
Not exactly. Well, this is a little bit of a weaker product.
Okay.
So the chalk paint for the color, but mm-hmm. you would use grout like tile grout.
Okay.
Sanded, and that's what gives it the texture.
Okay. It's such a neat effect, and there's so many ways to kind of do a variance on it.
Uh-huh.
And you've certainly done a couple now that have just been really, really neat. So that's how we did that. And if you want more advice on that or more ideas on that, of course, write in on the website at junkinwithjenny.com. And we'd be happy to take that up on a future episode of the program to talk about. Behind me is a little bit of creation I did actually one day.
Yes.
And this, what you see over here, the crossing area. Let me pull up the image on that so you can kind of see that in a better light. And this is really, obviously, this is part of a railroad crossing sign that we have up here. And the boards next to it, honestly, just leftover boards from a different project.
Yeah.
That I just stained, got some kind of deep, dark, stains with. And with that, a little piece of red barn board that's up there. I added a couple doorknobs to one of the boards so I can kind of hang some things on it. And then this neat little old like pinball type game that's mm-hmm. up there. So kind of antique-y and kind of functional all at the same time. And it's a neat piece. And it's one of those things you can kind of throw together using odds and ends that you may have around the garage for a little accent wall somewhere in your house. Now, this, what we did is just, it's a small piece over here.
Right.
And it fits the show. It fits where our camera is shooting at. But in our previous office, and I'm going to bring up an image of that right now. In our previous office and studio, you can see that there if you're watching at junkinwithjenny.com. I had the crossing sign up on a wall, and what we did there is a giant wall of essentially, it's like shiplap almost.
Right.
But it was not just the white shiplap. We did various stains, like three or four different stains on boards, mm-hmm. brand new boards. I mean, you don't always have to go to the route of I must buy antique boards or shiplap.
No.
A lot of people think that when they think, oh, I have to spend all this money. You really don't. all you have to do, just get some boards, get some cheap boards, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. If you want to go super cheap, buy fence posts or fence boards.
Yeah, and just cut the dog ears off.
Cut the dog ears off, stain them. I do a variety of stains in the same family somewhat. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be really, you know, different with it, you can go pretty dramatically different depending on how odd you want it to look or how distinctly different you want it to look.
Well, and those fence boards like that, mm-hmm. a lot of time they have that quarter sawn look, which is where the saw blade kind of did a spin out on the board, and you see that those ripples, and that's really neat. And you can even, you know, do a dry brush of paint over that to really highlight that.
Yeah,
and throw it in with the stained boards,
and then beat the hell out of the boards if you want. If you really want the old look, if you want it to appear to be super old without having to pay. I mean, some of these boards can be very expensive. You know, looking at some of the antique stores, some places you can get really good buys. Some are pretty high. Mm-hmm. But if you want that look, get some boards, get some fence boards, beat them up, you know, literally hit it one of the chain.
Take a piece of chain and take out your aggressions.
And then just stain. And when you stain in those grooves hard mm-hmm. so that stain gets in there and you can really achieve the same sort of look depending on how big of a wall you want to do, whether it just be a small accent. I mean, I could see something like we have here in the studio. I mean, not necessarily this exact design by any means, but something of that nature being, you know, almost like a headboard, you know, you could do something really kind of fun and something kind of cool without having to invest in a whole headboard and just get this up on your wall and it would totally stand out.
Well, an area that's always hard to decorate is right above a sofa. Mm-hmm. And something like this is great because not only do you screw it into the wall so it doesn't move if people accidentally bump it, but you can really customize it as large or as small as you want.
Yeah.
And if you use found things around your home, it's a lot cheaper than whatever piece of random art you're going to find at, you know, a home goods store.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things you could do with this concept of the, you know, the shiplap world.
Shiplap. Yeah.
If you will. I obviously know if you watch HGTV, the word shiplap has been overused so many times, but there's so many variations. Like people just think like the whiteboards.
It's also known as tongue and groove, or this is just, you know, paneling. It's any kind of boards run horizontal gets the name shiplap right now.
Exactly. So that's that. The other thing I have behind me is this closet door that you see. This is literally just a what would have been at one time. And in fact, I'll pull up the video right now. Like I said, if you're watching this at Junkin' with Jenny or on YouTube, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. This was a simple closet door.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And what we did to it is really kind of neat. And I'm going to pull up the video. You can see the end product right now if you're watching it at junkinwithjenny.com. We have two closet doors next to each other here in the studio that they're seeing on camera. But we didn't rip them off. We didn't have to go cut a bunch of timbers and create new doors. Jenny, what exactly did we do here?
Peel and stick vinyl plank.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite products. And with this, because the vinyl is heavy, that it's great on a floor, but when you're using it in a vertical application, it will peel off mm-hmm. after a couple hours. We use little black screws as kind of like nail heads or rivets, mm-hmm. if you will, to hold these planks up, but it also kind of gives it more of a rustic feel.
It does. And the thing is with it, this may not be your style, this kind of darker, creepier look on a door, but there are so many variations to peel and stick vinyl flooring.
Oh yeah,
that you could almost find almost anything you want to really accent a closet with, and it really was extremely easy to do. But I will say you can't just peel and stick it.
You have to screw it in.
You do need the screws, and they're just tiny little black screws. So you're gonna get the rivets in there if you want to do this. There may be some other ways of doing this without it, maybe some extra adhesive. I don't know. I haven't tried it that way, or tinier nails that aren't as obvious as this, or tinier screws that aren't as obvious as this. But I think if you're almost going for the look of having, you know, a door that is essentially looking like wood plank.
Yeah.
I mean, the screws totally fit in well.
We were going for a barn wood look.
And it's so easy to do. I mean, this whole thing, rather than buying new closet doors, I mean, what did we spend in the wood plank for, you know, two doors here?
Maybe $40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus getting completely new doors. And we have some edging that we're planning and putting up along the sides of it to kind of just kind of cover up the rough edges on the top.
Right.
It's very difficult to see on camera here right now, so you really can't. But you're going to have that and just a little bit of edging, and the project is done. And some of the handles, the
hinges,
all of that, that's almost like garage door type hinges, aren't they?
Yeah, you can get that. It's actually, I think, you know, it's meant to look like carriage doors, mm-hmm. and most people get it for putting on their garage doors. It's a really inexpensive set. I think they're $25 for a set, and it comes with all the hinges and the handles.
Sure.
And just screwed it right in, and it's what gives it that barn feel.
Yeah, and it just, I had someone the other day when I was on the Ghost Story podcast that they saw this in the background. They're like, oh, I love those doors that you have. That's so neat. You bought old barn doors. Like, no, not exactly.
No.
But
we fake the look as much as we can.
And the thing is, it turns out great in so many ways.
Yeah.
So lots of ways to do things like that. So that's our studio.
Yeah.
That's some of the stuff we have going on. There's a couple other things we're going to be working on another wall way over there that are not remotely ready yet. But we'll cover that in another episode of the show. Moving on to another letter that we have here. This comes to us from Peggy, and she says, over the years, I've been collecting old windows from antique stores, flea markets, and such. I've done a few painting projects with them, but I'm looking for more ideas on what can be done to give these old windows a second life. I'm open to anything. I just enjoy the rustic antique look. And on screen right now at junkinwithjenny.com, if you're watching there or YouTube, you can see an image of one of these windows that she's talking about. So, Jenny, ideas on what to do with some old rustic windows?
I have a couple of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
One I have not tried, but I really want to. I want to build one for your office.
Okay.
And it's basically building a coffee table, and you're using the old window as the lid. So you're building a rectangle and putting a back on it with some furniture feet. And you can paint it or stain it, whatever you want. But you build it so that this window rests on it with hinges. And then you have a display coffee table.
So the glass itself is the coffee table top.
Yeah.
So it's like a glass coffee table top. Except,
right.
But it's got that nice old thick glass on it that, you know, is so much more, I guess, reliable, if you could say, you know, than some of the more modern glass that sometimes is thinner, if you will.
Sure. I mean, of course, with any glass, you'll want to be careful.
Sure.
But this would be a neat way to showcase, you know, a collection of some mm-hmm. sort, or style it for the different seasons.
Mm-hmm. And with that glass, any ideas? Would it just be clear, or any other ideas on how you could accent that up?
Well, it depends. If you're doing it for a display, I would just leave it clear.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to put some like battery powered rope lighting in there, you could do a fog on the glass just mm-hmm. so it just illuminates.
Okay. What about antiquing it?
Antiquing it. I am a big fan of the mirrored spray paint.
Yeah.
Have you seen that stuff?
How does that work?
Okay. It is a Krylon product, and it's called Looking Glass Spray Paint. You spray it on the back side of the mirror and the back side of the glass, and the front side will end up looking like mirror.
So it goes on, and what, so let me just walk me through this, because
sure.
I'm an idiot on this. I have the mirror, or okay. I have the window,
uh-huh.
let's say, just fresh off the truck of my parents' house or something.
Okay.
and I want to do something with it. I would spray this product on the on the underside of where the coffee table would be.
Right.
Okay.
On the underside of the glass.
Okay.
So essentially you would lift up this
looking
window.
Up. Okay.
And you would do this before you put it together. But
sure.
The backside bottom of the window.
Okay.
So you're seeing the mirror through the glass.
Because
mm-hmm. this paint goes on the backside and it turns into mirror. It's amazing how it doesn't have this bumpy effect or anything. It just goes on and it looks like you've actually got a framed mirror.
So does it stay in the mirror state, or is there anything that needs to be done to make it kind of the antique look where it almost, you know, got peeled up and shitty?
Okay. Well, for that, you have one extra step.
Okay. So you can either do just the mirrored or...
Sure. Or what I'm hoping to do uh-huh. when I get my hands on some windows is you take a half and half vinegar and water mixture in a spray bottle, mm-hmm. one part vinegar to one part water, shake it up real good, spray it, just spritz it on the window to where it beads up. And while that's on there.
And this is, you're spraying this on the side you painted, right?
On the, no, you're spraying it first before you paint.
Okay, so you spray this mixture, then you put the
yes.
the mirror spray on.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you're wanting all these little water droplets to be bubbles that will not.
So basically it won't adhere correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
So this will make it look like old mercury glass.
Okay.
So you spray this on there, then you spray your mirror spray paint over okay. it and you let it sit. And then after it's dry, you wipe it so that those bubbles come off.
Mm-hmm.
The vinegar is what keeps that from just completely drying up. If it were just water, it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can spray paint the back, whatever color you want. And that color will show through the mirror through those little specks.
Okay.
If you do black, it looks like mercury glass and it's amazing. And that's what I'm going to do on mine.
Now thoughts for, you know, making it a coffee table. You know, a lot of people, that's going to be the first thing they're going to be walking away from because they're going to think, this involves woodworking. This involves,
sure.
You know, a lot of things that you may not have the tools for, but this is something you don't necessarily even need tools for, period.
Right. You can use wood glue to glue this together at the joint.
Mm-hmm.
I would still use some screws to screw the edges together, but you can have your boards cut whatever length you need at your hardware store.
But what about not using boards? What about using something more along the lines of like the tubing?
Oh.
Like what I'm looking at right now down below over here
uh-huh.
on this coffee table that we have. And I don't have a shot of it with the camera, but essentially it's a way to make a coffee table without having to worry about wood or uh-huh. anything of that nature. Just go to your plumbing section.
Right. Yes. We used just good old galvanized plumbing parts.
Yeah.
And you can get the, I believe the part is called the, I want to say it's the nipple, don't laugh, but it is the part that has the four holes
mm-hmm.
and it kind of comes up and the longer piece screws into it.
Sure.
Use those on both ends of whatever length pipe you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do. You do that times four and you screw that onto your window and you can also make a coffee table that way.
And that's, I think, one of the easiest ways to do it. And it kind of gives it a neat little industrial look.
Yes.
And I like that because you don't have to mess with any, you know, the woodworking stuff if that's not your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because yes, you could get the things cut. I mean, most hardware stores will do that for you now. But I just love that the piping and just that look.
Sure.
It's such a cool, you know, 10, 20 years from now, people are like, I remember that stuff, you know. But I think right now it's a very in thing and I think will last for at least the next 10-15 years.
I think so.
So it's a very classic look. So there you go. There's some ideas on what to do with that window beyond just painting them and then, you know, putting them up with cats in them if you want. So there you go. Of course, if you want to, some ideas, some advice on anything that you may have inherited a product or an object or anything like that, and you want some advice on what to do with it, go to junkinwithjenny.com. And submit it to us, and we would love to give you some feedback and some ideas. Right now, I want to talk about a product that you love, and you have it here in front of you, and I'm going to turn the camera straight onto you, so you can just hold this up to your camera right there.
This very used bottle. How's that?
Hang on. Your camera's, like, frozen at this second in time. Like, the time, like, we need it to, like, be on you, it's like you're just frozen in time. So give me 1 second, but this is a product that, it's a copper product. Hand it to me once
sure.
and I'll hold it up over here. Maybe it's time for a new iPad. Cause that's what we're using, for kind of managing, the recording of this whole thing. And I thought, oh, this is great. It's an iPad. This is like a second generation, I think is what it is.
It's old.
So yeah, it is getting old and, maybe time. For a new one. Anyway, it's a metal product, and it's modern metal.
Modern Masters Metal Effects Oxidizing Copper Paint.
Okay.
And Modern Masters makes a slew of different products that react and give you different effects. My favorite is copper. I will copper anything that doesn't, you know, move.
Mm-hmm.
So I have used this bottle. This is probably the same bottle I've had for the last 2 years, and it doesn't take very much. And this is the same product we talked about with the Lions, but I use this on everything, including the range hood at our last house. We turned that into a copper range hood as well.
Yeah, we did, and it worked. It worked very, very well. So it's been a really neat product to use. I'm showing on screen right now the lantern that you did.
Oh yeah.
Why don't you talk about how that worked?
Sure. You're talking about the lantern we have out front.
Correct. Right next to the surviving lion.
Thank you for that. I took this just old little lantern that I found. I think it was on sale clearance end of season or something, and it was all just solid black. So I decided to take it and do the copper and the verdigris on it, just mainly to have some place to put a battery candle so everybody saw that there was a step up right there in front of our door so that they didn't trip on it. And again, you just apply the paint. When it's wet, you spray on the patina or apply it however you want. You can sponge it on as well, but I like the way it looks when you spray it. And then you're done. You just let it sit, and it gets better, you know, the longer it sits. Eventually, it will stop changing over and stop getting green. But once you get the desired effect, you finish it off with a clear coat of your favorite protective. I use, you know, Rust-Oleum products quite a bit for that. And that is just as simple as can be.
It really is a very easy process, and we've done it on a couple things too. The chandelier that we had used this for a while back, it's a slightly different product.
It is. It's the Rust product. Mm-hmm. And this is a black iron paint that you paint on. That particular product has a primer that goes with it, so it will keep the rust from eating through. Because it's real rust. It's not just the look of rust.
Yeah.
So if you don't prime this, prime whatever you're putting on or putting this product on, especially if it's metal, it will just eventually eat right through. Mm-hmm. So you prime it, then you paint it with this black iron paint, and you spray it with the patina that goes with the iron paint, and then you can rust the dickens out of whatever you want.
It's not like it's faux rust.
No, it's real rust.
It's real. It will eat through anything, but you need to go through the right steps and procedures to make sure that it
right.
So
there's a whole slew of different paints and patinas that you can achieve using Modern Masters materials, and it's my favorite.
Hold that up again. I've killed my camera, and I've given you my camera
because
yours died.
What a sacrifice.
So
thanks for that
sacrifice.
No. Oh gosh,
simple word. Remember that Elton John song?
You also moved my wine.
Well, I had to, so I didn't knock it over all over you as I was trying to get the cameras adjusted. And the fun part about this whole thing is, as I've been doing this, no one realized it because I have multiple cameras and multiple things going. So.
And I didn't stop talking and saying, "What are you doing?"
Exactly. You're a professional at this already. It's like you've done a podcast before.
For years.
Or 700 of them.
Yeah.
So there you go. Really cool product. Definitely worth checking out and playing with on several different things.
Because there
really is. It's like there's so many things I just walk around and go, "I like to rust the shit out of that." and it's a cool thing, and it can be a really neat idea. One more letter that comes into us today on the show is from Sheila, and Sheila says, "I found an old spice jar," and I'm going to pull up the picture that she sent to us. It's not the greatest of pictures, but here's what we got. Found some old spice jars in a garage sale I wanted to make a project out of, so I went and bought some colored sand, but I didn't know how to put it all together. I wanted to make it look artistic with different colors. I just need a clear picture of what to do. What are your suggestions? Can you please help me transform these old spice jars into a work of art? I look forward to your ideas, and thank you. Jenny, what should she do?
Well, when I saw that picture, I kind of thought, you know, what I would do with that is I would actually take the jars out of the rack, flip the rack upside down, and hang it on the wall as a towel holder with the jars on top. Can you see what I'm talking about?
So flip it upside down.
Flip it upside down, obviously with the jars out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you then have like a towel bar on this after, you know, you paint it or do whatever effect mm-hmm. that you would do to it. Hang it on the wall upside down and then put the jars on top of it. So you have a functional piece.
So they just kind of have to balance though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But if it's secured good, you're good.
The bottom of that spice rack is mm-hmm. the thickness that it needs to be for those jars.
Sure. Because
those jars were on the other side just sitting in it, and now they're sitting on top of it.
You almost get like a double thing out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a functional piece.
Could you rust it?
You could. you know, I thought would be kind of cute would be to paint it white or off-white and mm-hmm. kind of, you know, rough the edges up with some sandpaper so it looks a little distressed. And then there's a product that's a sea glass spray paint. I do a lot of spray painting, if everybody hasn't noticed, but
she's a graffiti artist.
Yeah,
she's
right.
She's at the side of our house. There's all these horrible things written. It's really bizarre. It's like, why did you draw that on the side of our house?
But it's a Krylon product, I believe. It's called Sea Glass. You can get it at craft stores, or I think even like Walmart will have it too.
Okay.
And you can spray paint the glass, and it will make it look like that kind of foggy aqua green sea glass. Mm-hmm. So it'll give kind of that coastal feel and kind of cottagey look. And I would just spray all of them and just set them up there. And you can put sand in them if you want, but they're going to be kind of a foggy appearance and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. all the same color. I don't at this time think they have more than one color of that product. I could be wrong, but I know right now it's kind of like a seafoam green or almost like an aquamarine kind of green.
Okay.
And that's what I would do with it. And that way you can also hang a little, you know, cute hand towel on it and use it for more than one thing.
Yeah, I like that. I like how it kind of became more functional than just here's where to store the spice racks or the spice jars and, mm-hmm. you know, with a different color. You know,
sure.
it really created two different things out of one object. So if you have an object or space, like I said, you want some ideas on, please do submit it to us on our website, junkinwithjenny.com. And we would love to discuss that on a future episode of the show, give you some ideas and give you some feedback. So there you go. I'm going to walk over there because it's the end of the episode and I want to say goodbye to everybody.
okay.
So I can say goodbye on screen.
Are we going to
so
wave bye like the Clampets?
We'll wave bye like the Clampets.
Okay.
And then do like kind of one of those things where, you know, it's like a television show where, you know, you kind of do like your halfway fake smile and like freeze frame for a moment.
I'm not doing that.
And you stay really still. So let me get over here.
Nope.
And we have a theme song too. You didn't even realize this. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
So ready. Sha-da-da-la.
I don't sing. No.
So anyway, that wraps up our first episode. Can you hear me in the mic?
I can hear you right here.
Shouting at you. So anyhow, there you go. First episode.
Yay.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll have better cameras very soon.
Hope so. All right.
Thanks for watching, everybody. The first episode of Junkin' with Jenny.
All right, thank you.
Toodaloo!